I want to invite you to open with me, if you have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 this morning. And while you're finding that, I want to encourage you, if you're not already part of a life group, to get involved in life groups. We've had several new life groups start over the last few weeks, and they've been going really, really well. And many of you have life groups that are meeting today, and I want to encourage you also, if you have group meeting today, let's be faithful in that. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ and the family that we have together, and that we don't have to live out our faith on our own. Imagine what that would be like if you were the only Christian in San Antonio. But thankfully, that's not the way God designed it. And so we have a church family, and we're able to share our life that we have in Christ together. And so if you're not part of a life group, we have some information in the back you can find out on our website. But let's get plugged in and be in community with one another. Amen. So we're taking a break this week from our series in Matthew's Gospel. And if you're new here this morning, again, I want to say welcome. If you're new, my name is Pastor Matt. I'm the pastor here at Christ is King Church. And I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that all of you are here today, and even especially if you're new, because today's not a typical Sunday. Our normal pattern at Christ is King Church is that we work through books of the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And so we work through books of the Bible verse by verse. And we've been in a series in Matthew's Gospel. But every year around this time, late September, early October, we take a Sunday for a special emphasis on missions. We call it a Missions Sunday. And that's what we're doing here today. We're taking time to focus in on missions. Missions is sending people to other countries to tell them about Jesus. How many of you know that people need to hear about Jesus? And so people need to hear the gospel. People need to receive the gospel. People need the good news about what Jesus has done. And today, at the end of the service, we're going to pray over two missionary teams that are going out this week. One team is going to Europe. Another team is going to Asia. And so I want to share with you this morning a little bit about why we at our church, at Christ is King Church, place such an emphasis as we do on sending people to other countries to tell them about Jesus. Why do we do this? Well, I'm going to give you two reasons this morning. The first is a biblical reason, and then the second is a historical reason. And so this biblical reason we find in Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read this morning Romans 10, starting in verse 9. We're going to read through verse 17. I invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, reading through verse 17 this morning. The Apostle Paul writing, he says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Father, we do thank you for your word. I pray that in these next few moments, God, that you would plant the seed of your word deep within our hearts, Lord, that it would bear good fruit in our lives, and Lord, that you would help us to be the salt and the light in this world that you've called us to be in. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to gather together in your presence, Lord, to have your work and your kingdom expanded in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated this morning. So why missions? Why missions matters? Why do we send missionaries? We see it here in this passage. In fact, it's a very biblical thing to do. Paul here starts in verse 9 talking about salvation. Talking about salvation, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Talking about salvation, what are we saved from? He says you will be saved. Saved from what exactly? What exactly are we hoping to be saved from? Well, we know that at the end of history, there is a day of what? Judgment. The last day of human history is a day of judgment where everyone will be called to stand before who? Christ, who is the judge of all the earth. And on that day, on that last day, the secrets of our hearts and the ways in which we lived our lives will be exposed on that last day. But it says that there is a way on that last day to be saved from the judgment of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death, and that all of us have sinned. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's commandments, God's law. God's law, which is good and just. God's law that teaches us how to live in the world that he made. God's law that shows us from the Creator the way to live in this creation. But we've all chosen not to obey our Creator, not to live under his rule, but instead to go our own way. We've all chosen to go our own path, not to obey God's word, not to follow God's word, not to obey his commandments, not to live as his image bearers for which we were created, but instead to try to carve out for ourselves what we think life should look like. The Bible says the wages for that kind of life, the reward for that kind of living is death. Is death. And we've all chosen to live that way, have we not? And if you say no, then you've just lied and you've broken one of the commandments and you just put yourself in the category with all of us. Welcome. Welcome, sinners. Welcome. We've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We haven't just made mistakes. We haven't just messed up. We haven't just had a few accidental slip-ups. No, we have all rebelled against a righteous and holy God. We've all chosen to live in obstinate, willful rebellion against the God who created us and gave us life. We've all chosen to use the life God gave us, not for his glory, but for our own. Now, we were deceived into this life of sin. We were tricked. We believed a lie. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he has lied to all of us. And the lie is that going our own way will satisfy. Going our own way will give us joy and peace and life and love. Going our own way will make us happy. But that's the lie. We've been deceived. And so God sent his Son into the world with the truth of the gospel to lay his life down, to be light and life, to die on the cross for our sin. We celebrated that this morning in communion. Our sin laid upon him. What a glorious gospel. That the things that we have done, they have been paid for. They have been put under the blood of Jesus so that we can be washed clean. As Pastor Mark read this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If you are in Christ today, you are a new creation. Your old life of sin and shame and rebellion and all of the ways in which you believed the lie and broke God's commandments, all of that buried with Christ. And now that Christ is raised and ascended, all who would believe upon him and his death and his resurrection receive this salvation. A clean slate. No longer clothed in the rags, the filth of unrighteousness, that we are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This is the good news. This is the greatest news. We don't earn our salvation. We don't work for righteousness. Christ has done the work for us. On the cross, he said, the work is what? Finished. It is finished. And so we don't work for our salvation. In fact, we rest. We Sabbath. We rest in the finished work of Christ. See, if we had to work for our salvation, we wouldn't be able to do it, would we? If there was anything we had to do to earn our salvation, we would find a way to mess that up. I know I would. And so we rest in what Christ has done for us. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This gift is free to all who trust in Christ. And so Paul says, you will be saved. What precedes salvation? He says, we must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. It's received. The salvation is received as a gift of faith. It is not works. It is all of grace and merited favor. Believe upon Christ. Believe that God raised him from the dead. Confess with your mouth that he is Lord, and you will be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. That word justified means that we are declared righteous. This is a declaration by God the Father in heaven. This is a legal term. God looks down and instead of seeing us as guilty, he declares that we are not guilty. He declares that we are righteous. If you are in Christ today, you are righteous today. Though in the flesh, we may battle sin, and that is a battle that we fight every single day, we can fight that sin because God has declared that we are righteous. Because we are no longer sinners as a category, instead we are righteous in Christ. And so the Christian life is not one in which we work for salvation. The Christian life is one in which we work from salvation. Having been saved, having been justified, having been born again by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, we now walk in newness of life. But it's not by our own power, is it? Jesus says, John 15, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Too often we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, do we not? We try to live the Christian life in our own power. The power of our flesh, the power of our flesh is weak. The power of the flesh has no ability to stop us from sinning. It's only the power of Christ. So let us get our eyes off of ourselves and living for ourselves and place our eyes upon Christ and His power. Again, Pastor Mark mentioned while we were taking communion this morning that this is something that we do every week, because every week we have to realize that we live in the power of Christ. We must live in the power of Christ. I need to be reminded not to live in my own strength, but to look to Him, the one who died, rose again, and ascended, and is seated as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Confess with your mouth, He says, and you will be saved. Is that your confession this morning? We sang that this song this morning, didn't we? I believe, I believe, I believe. That final one, I believe that you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We sang that song. It is our confession. I pray that you believe it in your heart today, because the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Verse 11 says, for everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. This salvation is a promise for the wealthy. Yes. But also the poor. For the educated, yes. But also the uneducated. And not just the uneducated, the imbecile. It's from the wise to the fool, from the educated to the uneducated, from the wealthy to the poor, from every tribe, nation, and tongue, every language, every culture. This good news is for everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Verse 12, there is no distinction. No distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord. Christ is King. He's Lord of lords. He is Lord of all. Today, presently. And the message of the gospel is to go out with the good news that Jesus is Lord. To go out with the good news that Satan and hell and death and sin have been defeated. And that we don't have to live our lives in the pattern of sin that has plagued humanity from Adam all the way forward. There's a second Adam. There's Christ. There's the Son of God who died and rose again. And we can have new life, Spirit-empowered life through Him. And this message is for everyone. Everyone. No distinction. Means every person that you ever see needs to hear this good news. Every person that you ever see needs to hear about what Christ has done for them. Every race, every class, every culture, and hear this, even every other religion. Every other religion. Because Jesus said, there's only one way to the Father. And I am, Jesus said, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There are not many paths to God. There's only one path to God. There's only one path to having your sins forgiven. There's only one way to escape judgment on that last day, and that is through the shed blood, the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're trusting in any other way, any other religion, even in your own good works, you're trusting in a way that will not lead you to God. You're trusting in a way that will lead you to judgment on that last day. Every one. This message is for every one, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. This is the message of the gospel that everyone needs to hear. But then in verse 14, Paul begins to raise some important questions. He says, how will they call on him? How will they call on Jesus, call on his name, if they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? What Paul is saying is that for people to believe in Christ and to be saved, they must first hear the message of the gospel. You can't believe in Jesus if you never heard of Jesus. Amen? If you believe in Jesus today, it's because someone told you. Someone shared the gospel with you. Someone took you to church or to a crusade, or someone witnessed to you. Somebody told you about Jesus. That's the only way any one of us has ever been saved, is someone sacrificed, did something that was very unnatural, very awkward to the flesh. They put all of that aside to share about Christ with you. For us to believe, for anyone to believe, they must hear the good news with their ears. But then Paul goes on, he says, if someone's going to hear, there must be somebody preaching. For there to be a message to go out that can be heard, someone must be there to share that message. There must be a preacher. And then he says, for there to be a preacher must be sent. Must be sent. Remember what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about a biblical reason for why we put such an emphasis as a church on sending people to share the gospel. We send people so they might hear, that they might hear and believe, and that they might believe and what? Be saved. Be saved. And so Paul concludes with this quote from Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who carry with them the message of what Christ has done. This message that we all hold dear, this message that has changed our lives. Imagine what your life would be like if you had not been saved by Jesus. It's hard to even imagine, is it not? But imagine if no one had been sent. Imagine if no one had preached, if that person hadn't shared the gospel with you. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. And finally, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ or the word of God. The very faith to believe the gospel comes by hearing that gospel message. This is what Jesus taught in the parable of the seed and the sower. As he goes out, he sows the word of God, and that power to believe is in the word of God. That Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. This is why we are willing to share the gospel even with those who might even seem like they are opposed to it, because we know that the gospel has power to change people's hearts and change people's lives. This is what has fueled the church for the last 2,000 years, knowing, yes, there are those who don't believe. Yes, there are those who are hostile to Christ. Yes, there are those who it might appear that they want nothing to do with Jesus or his gospel, but there is a power that is greater at work in the preached and proclamation of the word of God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must love it, we must live it, we must preach it, and we must send those who will carry that good news to those who have never heard. How are they to hear unless there is a preacher? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So this emphasis on missions, this sending missionaries, it is a very biblical thing to do. Can we all agree on that? Say amen. Amen. The second reason I wanted to share with you is a historical reason. And this is something particular to our church, to Christ is King Church, to our local congregation. Our church this month celebrates 83 years as a church. 83 years, amen. You look good for 83, all right? In September of 1941, our church was planted. Our church was planted as Emmanuel Gospel Church. We met on the south side of San Antonio. Yeah, south side. We still got a, I don't know why all the Southsiders sit over here, but that's okay. But we do still have a very strong influence in the south side of San Antonio. We moved a little bit further north to the Woodlawn Lake area. All right. And changed the name to Revival Temple. At some point in the late 70s, we moved a little bit further north to this campus here on Callahan Road. In 2000, the name of our church was changed to Destiny Church. Amen. Amen. I know we got some people who still wish it was Destiny Church, but that's all right. So we're still working on them. And then last year, as we felt that we wanted to make a strong declaration in this generation that is disintegrating in front of our very eyes, having abandoned the truth of God's word, we wanted to make a bold declaration to our community that Christ is King. And so last year, amen, yeah, we changed the name. Lots of different names, one church. It has been one congregation, one body, since 1941. Our church was founded by a man named Leonard Coote, who was a missionary in Japan. He was saved there. He wasn't a believer. He went there as an unbeliever, and a missionary shared the gospel with him, and he was saved. And while he was there, he became a missionary. And we have a video on our website. If you haven't seen it, it's a great video, about 10 minutes. It tells the history of our church. It's also a part of our church membership class. If you haven't gone through that, I encourage you to do that. Learn about our church and what it means to be a member, not just of this church, but a member of the body of Christ in a local church. But we were founded by a missionary. And so from the very beginning of our church, we have had this very strong emphasis on not just our church, not just our community, which is important, but recognizing that there's people all over the globe that have never heard the name that is above every name, that have never heard the name of Jesus. And so from the very beginning, for the last 83 years, our church has worked and labored, not only here in San Antonio, but we've had works around the world to plant the seeds of the gospel in these other nations. Because those gospel seeds, they go into individual hearts, but they bear fruit, do they not? As the gospel begins to grow up in our lives, it begins to bear fruit. And individual lives are changed. And families are changed. And cultures are changed. And I believe even nations can be changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus. And so Leonard Coote, he founded this church. He was my great-grandfather. He founded this church in 1941 with this strong missions vision. And he founded it in downtown San Antonio in the municipal auditorium. In the east wing is where he started holding services. Now, of course, that's known as the Tobin Center, but that's where we had our first services in downtown San Antonio. He was here by divine providence during World War II. And today we have out of our church people who are part of our church, they're members of our church. We don't see them every week because they're working and laboring in foreign fields, but we have 15 missionaries that are members out of our church. These are our 15 member missionaries. Yeah, they're awesome. Let's give them a big hand. God has called them to take the gospel beyond San Antonio, beyond the United States, and into other nations. And so these missionaries work with our church and report to the eldership. They're members of our church, extended family. Of course, we have other missionaries that we partner with from other churches. We call those affiliate missionaries. But these missionaries that here are 15 are working in nations all over the world, in Asia, in Europe, in Latin America, in Africa. And one of our missionaries, Nathan Thompson, has started his own missions training school where they have sent out a dozen of their own missionaries from Mexico all throughout the Middle East. And so there's this multiplication that happens when we don't just focus in on ourselves and on our own lives, but when we recognize that God has called us to sow and to labor and to link arms with the body of Christ at large beyond our own local church. And so last 12 months, let me share with you some good news. The last 12 months, through our church, 672,000 $338.21 has come through our church to go out to foreign missions and has been sent out. That's how much has sent out. We've sent out in the last 12 months. And I looked it up this morning, the last 10 years, and I don't have it on the slide, but if you want to, you can just put a, you know, zero at the end of that. For how much has been sent to missions through Christ is King Church in the last 10 years, $6.6 million has been sent out to missions to advance the kingdom of Christ in the nations over the last 10 years, which is, I think, is incredible, to be honest. I just celebrate that. Now, those funds come from two places. They come from this local congregation as we give sacrificially month in and month out, week in and week out. And then also there are other churches that we are in partnership with. And many of those pastors come every January to our missions conference. There are other churches who support our missionaries. They don't have missionaries that they have sent out, but they believe in the vision of our church, and they believe in the long history and longevity of faithfulness that our church represents. And so other churches get behind our missionaries. And so all of those funds don't come from here, but they come from the outside as other churches have caught the vision for supporting local missions because of the work our church has done in this area over the last 83 years. And so what brings all of this together, and we're coming to a close here today, but what brings all of this together and drives this partnership every year is our annual missions conference. Every year in January, the third week of January, we have a conference where we bring in missionaries, we bring in pastors, and then our local church, our members, we mingle together and we come together to partner in advancing the gospel of Jesus in the nations. We call that conference every year, Light Your World. And this year, in 2025, the dates for that conference is January the 19th through the 22nd. And our theme this year is going to be gospel culture. Gospel culture. What this means is that as we take the seed of the gospel and plant it in the hearts of people all over the world, the gospel is cultivated so it would grow into a God-glorifying culture in individuals, in families, in communities, and nations, so that everywhere, wherever the gospel goes, that every area of thought in life would be brought under the lordship of Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we're calling this year's conference, Light Your World, Gospel Culture. This will be our 63rd annual missions conference. Started by my grandparents, John and Ruth Bell. Again, the vision, bringing together our church members, our missionaries, and other pastors to come together in partnership in taking the gospel to the nations. Now, every year we bring in guest ministry who come in to minister to the missionaries and the pastors and to us. And this year I'm very pleased to announce that we're bringing back Dr. Joe Boot, who's going to be with us. He was with us this last March. Some of you will remember that. And then two names who will be new to our congregation, Michael Thiessen and Nate Wright. And these ministers are part of a ministry called Ezra Institute, which again was founded by Dr. Joe Boot. And he wrote a book called The Mission of God, which I read during COVID that greatly impacted my life. And he grew up as a missionary kid on the foreign field and is still involved in missions work all around the world, advancing the gospel. And so he will be with us as well as his friends in ministry. And I'm very excited about that. On our website, we already have all of the sessions and everything that's going to be happening. And in fact, you can even register for that conference. We do have a short video. It's about a minute and a half that promotes a little bit of the theme of the conference. So I'm going to ask that we look at that here quickly this morning.
Over the past several decades, Western culture has developed an identity crisis. We have lost our sense of who we are because our understanding of truth has been altered, and with it, our understanding of authority. We used to believe that truth was really knowable, that it was something we could discover, and that we were responsible to change our beliefs and behaviors to align with God's truth in creation and scripture. More recently, however, we've come to believe that truth is something found within us, and that by our words and imagination, we can remake reality to suit our own private desires, offering a personal interpretation of the way things are. The ensuing identity crisis has decisively impacted the church. It is a crisis rooted in the widespread loss of a comprehensive gospel, a distinctly scriptural worldview, and ultimately a failure to recognize that all of human life and thought is at root religious. That is, all human activity is a response to God's word.
So we're partnering with Ezra this year in the teaching. Dr. Joe Boot will be here, and I'm just very excited about that. Now, the way we put the conference on, it is a free conference. We don't charge a dime for the people who come. That's very unusual. I do have the opportunity to travel to different conferences oftentimes throughout the year, and there's usually a fee associated with it. We don't charge a fee to attend the conference. And so what we do is that we raise the budget as a local church as a way of investing in missions every year. And so we raise the budget for the conference at the front end. And so this morning, I'm going to ask us to invest into the budget for Light Your World. It takes about $35,000 to put it on every year. When funds come in, and I just thank God that every year we make this budget, every year we reach this goal, because every year this local church catches the vision for investing in world missions and seeing how it pays off, and we just get behind it, and everybody gives what they can, and God puts it over the top. And when we go over the top, all the money that goes over the top, of course, gets distributed and dispersed to all the missionaries who are here at the conference. And so it takes about $35,000 to raise this budget. We're coming to you a little bit early this year. We want to give everybody as much time as possible to help raise the funds for this. So conference doesn't start until, again, January, which is about 17 weeks. And so if you're thinking in terms of a weekly pledge, that's about 17 weeks from today. We used to hand out little cards that had dollar amounts on them. How many of you remember that? You would come and you would pick up a card and you would look at what other people were picking up and, you know, seeing how that... Well, we didn't want any more our left hand to know what our right hand is doing. That's what Jesus says. And so instead now we just have a fill in the blank on the pledge form. And so it's a place for you to fill in the dollar amount that you're pledging. So I'm asking the church today to make a pledge. So to think over the next 17 weeks and to make a pledge that can get you can give towards our missions offering. And I want to encourage everyone to get involved. This is something that our church has had the vision for the last 62 years, and this will be our 63rd year. We make this investment, and then God multiplies it. This huge multiplication that happens. Again, $6.6 million over the last 10 years has been given through our church to world missions. And it's not just a multiplication of dollars, but of ministry, of souls, of lives hearing this good news and being changed forever. Their destiny is being changed forever. And so I want everyone here this morning to get involved at some level. Now, we're not all, you know, if you pulled up all of our bank accounts, they all wouldn't show the same thing. It's not about the amount, really, truly. But I want us to give according to what God has given us. That's the biblical principle. The biblical principle is not give according to what somebody else has. The biblical principle is to give according to what God has given you. But I want to invite, I want to ask everybody to give something, to pledge something for our missions conference that's coming up.